Every engine on the ramp has a number hanging over it, a countdown, you know the one. It sits in the corner of your logbook, and it tells you in hours how long the shop and the manufacturer figure your power plant should run before somebody splits the case and rebuilds it from the crankup. For a lot of us, that number just moved. This is Radio Hanger, I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, the show where we take the headlines and tell you what they actually mean when you're the one holding the checkbook and the yoke. Yesterday, July 20th, Lycoming Engines announced it is extending the time between overhauls to 2,600 hours across a wide range of its engines. I read it in AOPA's reporting, and it is the kind of story that sounds like inside baseball until you do the math on your own airplane. Then it gets very real, very fast. Here's what you need to know. Before we get into the weeds, a quick word from the people helping keep this show on the air. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, let's define the thing we're actually talking about. Because if you're newer to ownership, TBO is one of those pieces of jargon that gets thrown around like everybody was born knowing it. TBO stands for time between overhauls. It is a number expressed in engine hours that the manufacturer publishes as its recommended interval for a major overhaul. On a lot of the Lycoming 4-cylinder and 6-cylinder engines that hang on the front of Cessnas, Pipers, Moonies, Beechcraft, and a long list of others, that recommended number has for years sat at 1,800 hours or 2,000 hours depending on the specific engine. As of this announcement, many of those engines are now rated at 2,600 hours. Stop and let that land. If your engine was an 1,800-hour TBO power plant, and it now carries a 2,600-hour recommendation, that is 800 additional hours of published service life. If you fly 100 hours a year, which is a healthy pace for a private owner, that is 8 more years before the recommendation says it's time. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, though. And this is where I want to slow down and be careful with you, because there's a lot of misunderstanding baked into how people talk about TBO. Here is the single most important thing to understand. For most of us flying under Part 91, which is the general operating and flight rules that cover private, non-commercial flying, TBO has never been a legal limit. Let me say that again, because it's the part people get wrong at the airport picnic table. If you're a private owner operating under Part 91, you are not legally required to overhaul your engine at TBO. That number is a manufacturer recommendation. The airplane does not turn into a pumpkin at the TBO hour. The FAA is not going to meet you on the ramp. Plenty of well-maintained engines run well past their published TBO on private airplanes, and they do it legally every single day. So if TBO isn't a hard legal wall for private flying, why does this announcement matter at all? Why am I giving it the lead slot today? Three reasons. Money, resale, and the operators for whom TBO absolutely is a hard number. Let's take money first, because that's the one you feel when you go to sell an airplane or when you go to buy one. The engine's time is quoted two ways: hours since major overhaul and hours remaining to TBO. A buyer looks at an engine and mentally sets aside the cost of the next overhaul, spread across the hours remaining. A modern Lycoming overhaul done right with cylinders and accessories and all the incidentals can run you well into the tens of thousands of dollars. Depending on the engine and the shop, you can be looking at $30,000, $40,000 or more by the time the cowling closes. Now, here's the arithmetic that makes this announcement matter. Take that overhaul cost and divide it by the hours you get to fly before you reach it. That's your reserve, your cost per hour that you should be quietly setting aside for the day the engine comes due. If you divide a big overhaul bill by 2,000 hours, you get one number. Divide that same bill by 2,600 hours and your per hour reserve drops. This affects you if you own the airplane, and it affects you if you're shopping for one. An engine that would have been called, say, mid-time at 1,000 hours against a 2,000-hour TBO is suddenly an engine with 1,600 hours remaining instead of 1,000. On paper, that airplane just gained value. The remaining useful life of the power plant, as the market prices it, went up without anybody touching a wrench. I want to be honest with you about the limits of that, though, because I promised you context. Not cheerleading. A number on a chart does not add metal to your cylinders. Your engine did not get stronger yesterday. What changed is Lycoming's published recommendation, presumably based on accumulated field data, service history, and engineering review showing that these engines, when maintained and operated properly, are demonstrating the durability to support the longer interval. That is genuinely good news. It reflects real-world reliability data, but it does not mean your specific engine, with its specific history, is going to sail to 2,600 hours without attention. Here's the piece I really want you to hold on to: calendar time and how you operate the engine matter as much as the hours, and sometimes more. Lycoming, like the other manufacturers, has long published a calendar recommendation alongside the hours. The traditional guidance has been that if the engine hasn't reached TBO on hours within 12 years, you should consider overhaul anyway because of what sitting does to an engine. Corrosion doesn't care how many hours are on the tack. An engine that flies 15 hours a year and sits in a damp hangar the rest of the time is aging in ways the hour meter never sees. Rust on a cam lobe, a lifter face, pitting, moisture in the oil. Those are the killers for the low-time, high-calendar engine. So the 2600-hour number is a gift to the person who flies a lot and flies regularly. It is much less of a gift to the airplane that mostly sits. If you're a low-utilization owner, do not read this headline as permission to relax. Read it as a reminder that the hour number was never your real enemy in the first place. This affects you if you're one of the pilots watching oil analysis and compression numbers and thinking about running your engine on condition. On condition operation means exactly what it sounds like. Instead of overhauling strictly by the calendar or the hour, you monitor the engine's actual health, oil analysis trends, bore scope inspections, compression checks, oil consumption, filter cuttings, and you make the overhaul decision based on evidence rather than a single number. A higher published TBO gives an on-condition operator more room and more confidence, but the discipline is the same. You are still looking inside that engine and letting it tell you the truth. Now let's talk about the folks for whom this is not a recommendation at all. It's a rule. If you operate under Part 135, the rules covering commuter and on-demand charter, or you're running a flight school under Part 141, TBO can be a mandatory limit written into your operating specifications or your inspection program. For a flight school running a training fleet at 600-800 hours a year on an airframe, an engine that can legally and confidently run to 2600 hours instead of 2000 is enormous. That's the difference between overhauling an engine every 2.5 years and every 3.5 years on a hardworking trainer. Think about what that does to the economics of flight training. Engine overhaul is one of the largest recurring costs in a training operation, and training costs get passed straight through to the student. When a school can spread an overhaul across 30% more hours, that pressure eases at least a little. In an era where the cost of learning to fly has been climbing and climbing, anything that takes cost out of the training fleet is worth paying attention to. I'm not going to promise you it lowers your rental rate, but it changes the math the owner is working with, and that math eventually reaches the flight line. Let me connect a few more dots, because news like this doesn't happen in a vacuum. We are in the middle of a long, slow transition in this industry. The unleaded AVGAS conversation is happening in the exhibit halls right now. Engine monitors and data logging have gotten cheap and good, so owners have more visibility into engine health than any generation before us. And the manufacturers have decades of field data on these fundamental designs, many of which have been in production, in one form or another, for a very long time. A TBO extension is, in a sense, that accumulated experience being formally acknowledged. The engines earned it in the field, hour by hour, over many years and many thousands of airframes. So what should you actually do with this? Because I don't want to just hand you a headline and walk away. First, find out whether your specific engine is on the list. This is the part where I have to be straight with you. Lycoming said many engines across a wide range. It did not say all engines' model, configuration, and specific part numbers matter here. Do not assume. Go to the source. Check Lycoming's own service documentation, the service instruction that carries these TBO figures, and confirm that your exact engine model is covered before you change a single number in your planning. Talk to your mechanic, your A&P, your airframe and power plant mechanic, and especially your inspection authorization. Your IA is the person who should be reading the actual service instruction with your engine data plate in mind. Second, if you're operating on condition, keep doing everything you were already doing. Oil analysis every change, bore scope on schedule. Watch the trends, not just the snapshots. The new number gives you headroom, not a hall pass. Third, if you're buying or selling, update your spreadsheet. The remaining life value of a lot of Lycoming-powered airplanes just shifted. If you're negotiating on an airplane right now, this is a legitimate, sourceable data point to bring to the table. And fourth, if you fly infrequently, take this as your annual reminder to think hard about how your engine spends its time when you're not flying it. Fly it regularly. Get the oil hot. Consider what your storage environment is doing to it. The hour meter was never the whole story. That's the story I wanted to lead with today, and I wanted to give it room to breathe because it's the kind of quiet news that actually touches your ownership costs, which is more than a lot of louder headlines can say. My thanks to AOPay, whose reporting brought this one across the wire, and to Lycoming Engines for the announcement itself. As always, the service instruction from the manufacturer is the document that governs, not anything I say into this microphone. So go read it against your own engine. You can find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Keep the oil warm and the trends honest, and I'll see you on the next one.